Good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
There's no better way to start a service than to sing about God's amazing grace, right?
Amen.
Aren't you glad for his amazing grace? I know that I am. If it weren't for his amazing grace, we would be in trouble this morning. But because of his amazing grace, we have so much to look forward to. I am excited. There's a lot of great things happening today. So first of all, we have a potluck after the service. And it's not going to be so much a potluck, because usually a potluck is you walk through the line and hopefully you're lucky if you find something you like, okay? It's going to be a great meal. So all of you are invited to stay after the service. Wings of God is here with us, and they are going to, they're providing the main course for it, and they're going to serve us. And we're going to hear a little bit about the ministry today. And so make sure that even if you weren't planning on it, stay after. And for all the kids, we're going to have a home run derby this afternoon. We're going to have an opportunity for you to run bases, and we're going to see who can get around the bases the quickest, and we're just going to have a good time of fellowship. So make sure that you stay after for the potluck today. Then also on tomorrow night, we start our co-ed softball. And you say, well, what's that? Show up, and we put you on teams, and we're going to play, and we always have a lot of fun with that, all right? And that starts at 6:30. And if you're going to play, if you could just sign up at the Welcome Center so we can make sure that we can call a few people if we need to fill in, make sure we have enough people there. But last year we had a great time with it. And we just play a couple games. Hopefully nobody gets hurt. It's a lot of fun. Tonight the youth group is going to be meeting at my house. It's supposed to be 90 degrees today, and so the pool is open, all right? So you can meet here at the church and then go right over with the rest of the youth group, or if you live closer to our house, you can just go right to our house, okay? So that's for the youth group tonight. And also, the youth group on June 24th has the Amazing Race activity. And here's what we need from the church at large. We need people who are willing to be drivers. We're not letting the youth drive. They would be wonderful drivers, and that would be a disaster. So we need people to drive. So if you would like to drive for that, it's from 2 till 8 on Saturday the 24th, and it's a lot of fun. Those who drove last year, I think, you know it's a lot of fun. We're going to try to make it more about the challenges, less about you getting lost and confused, although we still hope you get lost and confused a little bit. So if you'd like to do that, then see Nate or Kyla Penning. Nate, raise your hand. If you'd like to drive, then see Nate or Kyla Penning, and they'll help get you situated for that. We also need people to man some of the stops that they go to. And so if you'd like to help with that, you can see Nate with that as well. Yeah, there he is, right there, in the yellow shirt. All right. Making sure I got all of our announcements done. Vacation Bible School is coming up very quickly, and Brooke has a table out there. She'd love to talk to you about what you can do to help out with Vacation Bible School. And Brooke, you need a few more helpers? All right, thank you, Brooke. And you'll notice some of our guys are wearing their softball shirts. I didn't wear mine. Mine stunk still. No, actually, Rachel washed it. I didn't want it to stink for Monday or for Tuesday. I'm going to tell you something about our softball team that plays, not intramural, but plays against other teams. They have such a great testimony and attitude. And 12th Street, I want to let you know, they represent you very well. So I'm very proud of our guys. Now watch this week, I'll get thrown out of the game. All right. Well, at this time, we're going to, I'm going to invite Wings of God to come up here. And as they come on up here, Karina's, she's the, what are you, the director? Okay, so executive director. Don't miss the executive. All right. So they're going to come up and they're going to share with us a little about Wings of God. And so, during the potluck today, There will be a box if you'd like to just contribute to help out with the cost of the meal for them, or if you'd like to bless their socks off. Either way, they'll have a box out there.
Thank you. Hello?
Yep.
We're good?
Yep.
Wow, this is a nice soft one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. This is the second or third time I recall being up here sharing with you guys, and I hope I don't repeat myself, but it reminds me, I'm reading in the Bible, and God keeps showing me how he keeps telling his people to remember what he's done, because you need to tell your kids. And oftentimes we go through life and we think, oh yeah, God answered that prayer, and then we forget about it. But boy, when you keep track in a journal of all the amazing ways he's answered prayer, it's just unbelievable. So as I come up here and fear that I might repeat something, it's because I just can't believe what God's done in this ministry. And I got to be a part of it. I am the executive director and a co-founder. Andalee Ashelman and Edie Mills also joined us. I think I've shared with you guys before, real quick, we prayed the dangerous prayer, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. And then there's more to it. You can just say that prayer, or you can go and do something. Go and make disciples. What we appreciate about 12th Street Baptist is you guys, when God tells us to go and make disciples, some of you can't go like the go I'm doing. But your support, you're going through helping me to go. And so thank you to this church for your faithful support. And I can't wait for Lisa. She's going to share in a minute. She's one of our current pearls. And you're going to hear about how your church has blessed her in Wings of God. So just know today that we hope you'll join us for lunch. We'd love for you to come. If you don't, we aren't expecting donations for food, guys. So if you just want to come eat, that's fine too. We just want to bless you because you've blessed us. Also, I don't know if we had these since I've been, but you're going to hear more about what Wings of God does through Lisa. But I want to tell you, if you're curious after today, more about Wings of God, we host what we call Witness the Hope Tours once a month. They're an hour long on the second Thursday afternoon of every month. They generally are filled. Our last one wasn't because I'm busy with golf outing tour, sponsorship. But if you want to come to one of those tours, you get free lunch from Amores. We don't keep you longer than an hour, and you will have your socks blessed off. So I tell people, don't wear your shoes, don't wear socks, just come in, because you are going to get them blessed off. And I'm not kidding. It's hallowed ground. Real quick, this home is in Pawpaw, in case you don't know about it. And before we even bought the home, I was driving through town, and I felt the prompting, go get on the front porch, get on your knees and pray. I'm like, we don't even own this house, Lord. It wasn't occupied, though, okay? So anyway, I felt that prompting a few times, and we had talked to the realtor, so I didn't feel like I was totally trespassing. I probably was a little, but so I did it. I went to the front porch. There's huge pillars. I went and hid behind one of those on my knees on that front porch before we owned it, and all I could do was cry as God declared to me, this is holy ground. Holy ground. That house is like almost 200 years old. And to think the previous owner never knew what her owners never knew that that house would be used in such a mighty way for kingdom work. So you just never know what you own or what you plant seeds into, what it's going to do. So I praise God today because God allowed me to be a part of Lisa's life and 49 other residents. And I just would like to let Lisa share now just what it's like at Wings of God. And we are going to be there. We have a booth. And then, of course, we're going to be at the luncheon. So I'm not going to try to cover everything. I could talk to you guys all day. But we do have a time limit. So just if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask us following the service. But anyway, here's Lisa. And she's going to share what it's like to be at Wings of God, what she does there, and then maybe her previous life and her new life through Jesus Christ and how she's grown spiritually. So thank you, Lisa.
Hi. As you know, my name is Lisa. I don't really know where to start, and I'm already choking up, so this is going to be difficult. I came to Wings of God August 24th of 2016. I had no desire to stay more than a week at all. I was in and out. I wasn't going to make it. Ask them. I was not going to make it. And every month that I make it, my joke is, well, I'm almost 10 months. I wasn't going to make it 10 days. August 24th will be my year. I had a dysfunctional childhood, to say the least. But I didn't know that I wasn't alone. I thought that my family was the only messed up family. My mom was mentally ill, so I was raised from a very young age to lie. So I lied about everything, because that's what I was taught to do. You can't tell them your mom's crazy. You just got to tell them that she's sick. Okay. So that's what I did my whole life. I would lie about my family. I would want a relationship like I thought everybody else had, and I didn't have that. I wanted a mother that would take me shopping who would not be in the mental institution. You know, I had an absentee father who did the best he could because he was the only income. So this progresses and progresses, and it never stopped. So what I would do is I would lie to people because people don't like liars. So then they would say, I'm done with you. I want you out of my life. And I was like, yes, got what I wanted. Then I got to Wings of God. Fast forward 50 years, and I get to Wings of God, and I lie. They don't kick me out. They don't get upset. They hugged me. Who does that? They loved me more. And they taught me who God is. I mean, I thought God was like some entity up there that, you know, had time for other stuff, but he wasn't going to, who, me? Who am I? I'm nobody. I'm not a third world country that's starving. You know, I'm not a lady whose house just burned down, whose husband beats her. I'm just a liar. And the Bible says that the liar is the worst thing there is. So I am the worst thing there is. I'm worse than the murderer. These women taught me that I am a child of God. You did that. Your church did that. We had a Christmas party here. They just embraced us. They loved us. I'm going to tell the story real brief. I did not know how to pray. So we played this game, and it said, what's the one thing that you can't stand to hear more than anything? And everybody thought I was going to say whatever. Can't stand that word. Whatever. I said, just pray about it. Because when I would have a problem, they'd be like, oh, honey, just pray about it. They weren't being sarcastic, but I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't think God listened to me. One of your lovely parishioners, who's sitting in the back, sent me a Bible study on prayer. And I got it, and I threw it in the dresser, and I was like, okay, whatever. Well, about 4 months ago, I started doing it. I've learned to pray. I've learned that I am a child of God. I've learned that I am his daughter. Amen. I may have not had a good earthly father or a good earthly mother, to no fault of their own, I would like to say, because I'm working on that. But I have a heavenly father. Amen. Who has never given up on me and who has been waiting on me and probably went, it's about time, you know. So, you know, I have women in my life who, when I walk in there and I say, I feel like I need to lie, they say, okay, where does it come from? What do you need to lie about? It was shame. What I've learned recently is that God never meant for us to feel shame. The Genesis says that they were naked and they were unashamed. The devil came, they were naked and they were shamed. I never knew that. I never understood that passage at all. The more I study, the more I learn, the more I want to know. And you did that. So when you want to know what Wings of God is, I'm Wings of God. I am a saved soul. I am redeemed. I am loved. I've never been that. You don't understand. I have never been loved. And here's the other thing. I'm not ashamed anymore. You're right. I was a liar. I was a thief. You're absolutely right. I am not that anymore. I am a child of God. So if you wonder what Wings of God is, if you wonder what we do, that's what we do. And I say we because I do it, because I do it every day now. I was laughing at your slogan. I love that. Just live it. That's what you do. Because I met a lot of people that talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And that's what I was basing my faith on, was what I would call people that just don't really understand. And it's okay not to understand. But there's this amazing book that my grandmother used to read that she would call Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I figured out she's talking about the Bible. Yeah. See, I was raised in a church just like that. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. When I saw that table out there at Christmas that said, do this in remembrance of me, I remember that table, but I never understood what that meant. It's a faith-based home that loves us. Now, don't get me wrong. There are consequences. There are consequences, but you learn out that you're not being punished. You're being taught. And I don't really know how to end other than just to say that August 24th will be my year. This has been the most amazing journey of my life. And I have no problem telling people about Wings of God and talking about Wings of God, because here's the thing. I'm not ashamed anymore. Amen. Don't judge my sin just because it's different from yours. Amen. That's what I learned.
Well, let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Father, I thank you so much for the testimony we just heard. And Lord, I thank you for a place that, a home that was opened up to help ladies to find Jesus and learn to live for him. And I thank you that we can hear that testimony. I thank you, Lord, that we here at 12th Street have an opportunity to be part of that ministry. And I thank you, Lord, for all of those who have taken the time to sow into that ministry. And so, Lord, we just ask for your continued blessings on Wings of God. Give wisdom to all those who have decisions to make. And, Lord, give great peace, comfort, and joy to those who walk in those steps and encourage each other in the life there at that home. Lord, I thank you that this morning here, as we get to hear this this great story, that as we're gathered together, that God, you have so much more that you want to tell us, so much more you want us to know about you and experience this morning. So God, we just dedicate this time to you. Be great in every single one of our lives. Prove yourself. Send your spirit. I pray that we would understand what it's like to know the joy of the Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with Power in the Blood. Wonder working.
wonderworking power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the your name.
Ushers, come forward, please.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for our church and for the witness it has here in Kalamazoo. And Lord, we just pray that you bless this offering. And that we use it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, my God, I cry out. Your beloved needs you now. God, be near, calm my fear, and take my doubt. Your kindness is what pulls me up. Your love is all that draws me in. I will lift my eyes to the maker of the mountains I can't climb. I will lift my eyes to the calmer of the oceans raging wild. I will lift my eyes to the healer of the hurt I hold inside. I will lift my eyes, lift my eyes to you. God, my God, let mercy sing her melody over me. God, right here, all I bring is all of me. Your kindness is what pulls me up. Your love is all that draws me in. I will lift my eyes the maker of the mountains I can't climb. I will lift my eyes to the calmer of the oceans raging wide. I will lift my eyes to the healer of the hurt I hold inside. I will lift my eyes, lift my eyes to you. 'Cause you are and you were and you will be forever the lover I need to save me. You fashioned the earth and you hold it together, God. Please hold me now. The mountains I can't climb, I will lift my eyes to the calmer of the oceans raging wild. I will lift my eyes to the healer of this hurt I hold inside. I will lift my eyes, lift my eyes. I cry out, your beloved needs you now.
Thank you, Gerard. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And if you haven't noticed, there's a really good-looking group of young people right in here. They're the senior staff at Bear Lake Bible Camp, and so all of the kids that are going to be going to Bear Lake this year, you'll see these guys there, and you'll be working with them. So Leah snuggled up beside me, and she said, "It makes me so happy to see them." So, well, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to finish Philippians 4, finish the book of Philippians today. And our theme for the year, and actually the theme of this book, is to just live it. And that's what we should be doing with our Christian faith. It's to just live it. But in order to live the faith, you have to know what you believe. And all throughout this book here in Philippians, there are two words that just keep recurring over and over and over again. And that first word, it has to deal with your mind. It has to deal with thinking and learning. And the second word that we find in this book is joy. We find references to the mind 26 times in the short little book, and references to having joy 16 times. And so if you want to know how to have intellectual ecstasy, you'll learn it from this book. You'll learn in the book of Philippians how God wants you to think, and then the results of that. And so Philippians ends with a bang. Now remember, halfway through the book, he said, "Finally," because if anybody was dozing off while they were reading, he'd be like, "Oh, he's almost done." And then he just keeps going. And then he gets about three quarters of the way done, and he says, "Finally." But the "finally" he uses in verse 8 is an awesome "finally," because it's actually saying, let me give you, if you didn't get anything else, let me give you the most important thing in this book. And he says, "Finally, my brother, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are," I can't find verse 8 in my Bible, I'm sorry, are "true and honest and just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue or if there's any praise, think on these things." And we looked at that last week, what those things mean. Now this week he ends with a bang because he's trying to motivate the church at Philippi to continue with the good things they had going on. There's a doctor and a lawyer there at a party together, and Their conversation was constantly interrupted by people describing their ailments and asking the doctor for free medical advice. And after an hour of this, the exasperated doctor looked to the lawyer and said, "How do you keep people from coming up to you to get free legal advice?" And the lawyer said, "Well," he said, "I give it to them, but then I send them a bill." And the doctor thought, wow. And so the next day, the doctor sat down and started writing out bills to all the people that approached him at the party. And he went out to the mailbox to mail them, and he found in his mailbox a letter from the lawyer with a bill for his services. Let's read verse 10 here in Philippians chapter 4. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." He says, listen, again, I want to tell you, you have provided for me. You've cared for me when nobody else really could, nobody else really did. You did that. And even though you weren't able to be here with me, you cared for me. Verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Probably for a lot of us, we just need to learn this verse. You know what would be really good? Put it in your rear view mirror in your car. You say, why there? Because usually we're not very content while we're driving down the road. Right? That's usually when we're at the least of our contentment, because we're late, and then you got all these other idiot drivers. Everybody on the road is an idiot driver except for you, right? You know, and what they say, if there's everybody else is the idiot except for you, look in the mirror. So look in the rear view mirror and see, I've learned that whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but as I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me, they greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. To the Philippians, written from Rome by Epaphroditus. In verse 10 and in verses 15 through 18, we see a really great thought given to us, and that first thought is of care. That's the first blank that's in your bulletin, care. Even though they couldn't help by being there, they helped. So, 12th Street, I just want us to think through this. What kind of care do you personally try to give to others? And what kind of care do you want for us as a church to provide? I was out to lunch. Well, I'm usually out to lunch, but I went out to eat with another person in the church, and we were sitting at lunch, and we were just talking about things of God, just doing what we do, right? Just talking about Jesus and talking about life and some great things. And while we were sitting there talking, another person at a booth over, they kind of wave, and they leave. And the waitress comes up, and she says, "Those people over there took care of your check." And I'm like, "Oh, well, bring me another steak, you know." No, I didn't do that. That would have been bad. But see, here's what was really cool. They were a great testimony to that waitress. And by helping me, I didn't need the help for them to pay for my meal. But by providing care, they blessed me greatly. And they showed the waitress that, man, there's something different about people of faith. And see, we should have eyes that see need, and we should care. I love Jack's testimony, Jack Otto. I mean, he still talks to me about his cricket cage and how $1 has grown and grown and grown. And how he takes and he'll pay for somebody's gas that's a little short at the gas station. Where he'll see a need that somebody has and he'll just jump in and fill it. We need to be people that care. If we can get anything from the church at Philippi and say, we want this in our church, it should be the way that they cared. Now, their care made a difference in a big way. And if it was Donald Trump up here, he would say, bigly, all right? Their care made a big difference. It flourished. When we care for others, through our goods or through our time and our energy, it will flourish. Okay, we have some plants that we've planted. And actually, a great example of it is right outside in a home that Rachel and I have in Portage that we rent out. There's two flower baskets up. And she put both of them up at the same time. They get the same amount of sunlight. They get the same amount of water. One of them is just purple flowers just bursting out of it. The other one is all shriveling up. And I look at that and I go, I can't figure out what the difference is. Well, one is flourishing, one is not. Now, if I would show up and water it every once in a while, they probably both would flourish, right? But I don't take the time to do it, so one of them is dying. Sometimes when we don't provide the care, we leave others so they don't flourish. We flourish and we help others flourish when we provide for care. The third thing that we see about care with this church is without knowing it, they were the only help. Paul says, listen, when I was in Thessalonica, which Thessalonica is a pretty good sized city. Thessalonica's, they have a church there. But while he was in Thessalonica, they couldn't help him. They didn't help him. He doesn't say whether they didn't have the means to help him or whatever. What happened is that the church at Philippi sent to Paul to take care of him while he was with Thessalonica. That's awesome. That they said, we don't care where he's at. We don't care who he's with. We want to be a help all the time. And if they didn't help him, he might not have had what he needed. And so their care was the only help that he got. And then the fourth thing we see is that they produced the kind of fruit a church should produce. He said, I'm not saying these good things about you because I want fruit in my life. I see you have fruit in yours. And their care for Paul, number five in your bulletin there, their care for Paul was enough. Here's what Paul says. He says, I have all. He says, I abound. And then he says, I am full. Care in action is giving of self and resources to provide for the true needs of others. What does a person lack and how are they hungry? Can you help them? Can you fill them? And can you help them to overflow? The next thing we see in this passage is contentment. Verse 12 and verses 18 and 19, we see contentment. And contentment is a really cool thing. that no matter what, Paul says, to be content. No matter what. He says, in the face of being low, be content. When you're exceeding expectations, when you abound, be content. You know what's funny? Sometimes when life is really bad, we try to be content. But when life is really good, we seem to want more. And he says, if I'm low, if I'm lacking, or if I have everything and I have abundance, I'm content. Paul only needed what he had. Oh, and you're sitting there going, oh no, but Paul didn't understand. I don't have a 4K TV. And until I have the 4K TV, I don't have what I need. But here was Paul's attitude. He only needed what he had. God supplies all our need. That's where contentment comes from. It comes from whatever God provides, that's what I need. And God always provides what we need. And it's according to the riches and glory of Christ Jesus. You want more than Jesus, then you're asking for too much. There's a song. It says, Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. We can sing like that, we can say it, but do we really believe it? And Paul, he really believed it. Here's contentment in action. Contentment in action is living as though everything I need is what I have, and everything I have is all I need. Contentment is responding to all of life's circumstances and difficulties with satisfaction in the Lord. Contentment is peaceful assurance. Conditions are not greater than the provision I have been given. Do you have contentment? The third thing we see in this passage is cognition. Now, cognition, it's dealing with the mind. All right, when we get saved, we become thinkers. We don't shut our minds off. And there are too many Christians that call, or people that call themselves Christians, that they think faith is about shutting your mind off and just blindly following something. No, you see, when you have Christ, all of a sudden, thinking grows in your life. You actually learn how to be a real thinker with Christ. And so here's what Paul says. In verse 11, he says, I've learned. Now, when you learn, you take the circumstances that are at work in your life, you combine them with what you are gaining in your mind and knowledge, and as you learn, you start to apply what you know with what is happening. And here's what he says. I've learned that whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I've learned. Now, that's a hard lesson to learn, isn't it? But see, this is what God wants from each one of us. He wants us to have this kind of cognition that we know he brings contentment. The second thing is that, in verse 12, I know and am instructed when failing and when successful. I know I'm instructed how to act. How do you act? I'm content. That's what we should learn to think in our minds. Maybe one of the problems with living in America is we're told you can always have more. You know, you go to a restaurant and they always want to serve you, have it your way. You deserve a break today. Everything is all about what do you want more of? Let's make it all about you. And you know what? we shouldn't look at life and say it's all about me. It's not about me. It's about Christ. And so we should be learning, and we should start to, as we learn more about what God wants for us and from us, we start to know some things. And what we know, we are instructed, apply it so that you are living in contentment. In Proverbs 3:13, it says this: happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. In Proverbs 4:5, it says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. And then in Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. I think there's this really powerful thing that God wants us to have in our lives, and that's that we are always learning. Be a forever learner. Don't say, I know enough about the Bible, I really don't need any more. Don't say, well, I've had so many life experiences, I don't need to learn anymore. No, we are always learning. Because as we learn more, God puts more into us so that we know how to handle life. Cognition and action, it works this way. When what God wants you to know is what you believe. God's aspirations inspire confidence and trust. You master the ideas that God gives you in His Word and assimilate them to your life properly. Knowledge is power, especially when it's knowledge of the holy. And then the fourth thing we see in this passage is can. We see that in verse 13 and verse 19. Now, two words that I hate, okay? And I say hate, and I mean it very strongly. The words, I can't put together. Any Amazing Race fans? Anybody watch The Amazing Race on TV? All right, a few people. All right. We like to watch it together as a family. And there is this one girl that was on there, and she's always, every task they were given to do, I can't do it, I can't. And it drove us all nuts. So we told our kids that whenever we see you say, I can't, I'm just going to call you by that girl's name, all right? Your name is no longer what it is. It's Brooke, all right? Because that's everything. I can't. And why would we go through life and when we face an obstacle or when we have something that stands as difficult in our path, do we just immediately go, oh, I can't. Or we learn more about God, what God wants. And some of you, you're sitting here going, yeah, contentment. I'm supposed to be content in the situation that I'm in. Well, let me sit down and tell you about my situation. And we'll see if you're still saying that. Well, then you've got the can't attitude. You know what can't does? Well, it won't. That's what can't does. It won't. And so what does Paul tell us through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost? I can. Now, wait a minute. He writes this. He's in prison in Rome. He can't even write the words out himself. Epaphroditus is writing them for him. He doesn't have his own freedom. The church at Philippi started when he was in prison after he'd been beaten. And how did he respond? He's singing at midnight. Praise God. He did not have the I can't attitude. He had the I can attitude. And that is what God wants from his people. Amen. It's so sickening. Group of guys. After work. Hey, we're going to the bar. I can't because I'm a Christian. Now, I agree with what you're saying. But you know what you're doing? You're casting such a negative light on your faith. I could go. Here's what you tell people, okay? You know what I used to tell guys when I worked with them? They would, Dad, we're going to the bar. We know you're not going to go anyway, but we're going. I actually went with them one time, and I ordered water. And every single one of them looked at me and, "We can't drink with you drinking water." Why not? You do what you're going to do. It's so uncomfortable. Why is it uncomfortable? I can live right and be a good example. I can help when help is needed. I can show love. I can show compassion. I can show care. And I can say no. I was doing I did a funeral, and after the funeral, they did the dinner at a bar. And they said, "We want you to come and pray for the dinner at the bar." And I said, "All right, I'll do it." So I went. I'm in my suit, because I bury people. I marry and bury you in a suit. You want to see me in a suit, get married or die. All right, so it's only two ways it's going to happen right now. So I go to the bar, and I'm waiting for all the food to come in because they were potlucking it in. And I'm standing there, and I'm talking to a couple guys. And one of the guys goes, "I heard what you said at the funeral." And I thought, yeah, you have to say that because you're a pastor. He goes, "As you stand here," he goes, "you know there's alcohol behind you." I said, "Yeah, duh, I'm in a bar. I know that." He goes, "Are you going to condemn me if I go have a drink?" I said, "No, I'm not going to condemn you if you go have a drink." He goes, "Are you going to look down on me that I'm a lesser person?" I said, "No." He goes, "Well, I feel like you're going to judge me." I said, "I'm not going to judge you." I said, "Listen, there's only one that judges you, and that's God. And here's how God judges you. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will account you as righteous. He will count you as just. And you will go to heaven. If you have not, you are judged already. You are condemned already because you don't believe in Jesus." And I said, "You know what? You don't need to be thinking about and worrying about what's behind me. You need to be thinking about and worrying about your soul." Because I looked at him and I said, "Your brother's we just put him in the ground. What's going to happen to you when you're in the ground?" That guy, he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as the Savior. He left. He goes, "I'm never going to drink in a bar again." I'm like, "I didn't tell you to do that." Okay? I'll tell you what I can. I can stand up and tell people about Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I can." He said, "I can do all things," but he didn't say it was by himself. I've heard people quote this verse, "I can do anything." All right, yeah, jump off a building and see how well you do at that. You can jump, you'll land too. I can do all things through Christ. He is the supplier of power. He is the giver of ability. I can through Christ. And I can do all things through Christ. So the things that Christ doesn't want me to do, you know what? I won't do them. Because through Christ, he'll give me the power to do the things he wants me to do. And then verse 19, I mean, Philippians 4 has got two of the greatest verses in the Bible, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? And then verse 19, my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches and glory which are by Christ Jesus. God supplies all our needs. Now, in my Bible, I underlined it, I circled it, I highlighted it, I drew an arrow out to the margin and put a big star by the word all. God supplies all our needs. And it's according to his riches and glory, not ours. God's riches sometimes come in the way of finances. His riches sometimes come in fortitude to endure hardship. And they sometimes come through courage to face down an obstacle. But I know that my God shall supply all my need. And it's according to his riches and glory. And you know what? It comes by Christ Jesus. The same place that the I can for all things comes through Jesus Christ. You know, my supply comes through Jesus Christ. Here's I can in action. It's showing the power of Jesus in me. How do I share the power of Jesus in my life? Well, I think I care, I'm content, and I have cognition of the things that God wants me to know. And when all those things are at work, I'm showing the I can. When I lack any of those things, I don't. Be the type of person that is can do. Have the attitude that God supplies. Both have the same source for confidence. It's in Christ. When Rachel and I were first married, we were in Michigan, and we decided to move down to Florida for the summer and do a summer-long internship at a church. And that was a really bad idea, okay? Michigan is nice in the summer, right? And then Florida's not so nice in the summer. Especially, we were down in Dade County, Miami area. Okay, Boca Raton is actually where we stayed. It is hot down there in the summer. But we went down there, and we did believe that God would supply all our needs. We had no idea how. We had no idea. The work that God had called us to for that summer, we didn't have any idea. And if we did have an idea, we probably wouldn't have wanted to do it. Because when we got down, the pastor had told us, listen, you show up and you bring your... You know, you bring your clothes. We'll have a place for you. So we get there. We drive all the way down from Michigan down to his house down in Margate, Florida is the name of the town where he lived. And he goes, where's your U-Haul? And I'm like, you're funny. He's like, no, seriously. And I said, you told us just to bring the clothes on our backs. He goes, oh, I did? He goes, well, I guess that was a mistake. So then he hands us the wanted ads, and he says, all right, find a place to live. We're there for 3 months. So we took the wanted ads, and he offered to let us stay with him in his house. We're newlyweds. He's got two big old Great Danes, all right? And, yeah, it's like sharing the space with them. And not fun. And so we were looking for a place to stay. Well, we decided we didn't know if we could handle this, all right? Rachel was going to work in the day camp during the day that the church had a school and it had a day camp, and I was going to be the youth pastor for the summer. So we drove over to the ocean, and we sat on the beach, and we contemplated driving back up to Michigan. There was a big part of I can't that was running through our mind. The place that we found to stay took almost all of the pay that we got paid. It was in Boca Raton, okay? That's an expensive place to live. We had to keep the pool, had a pool. It was a pastor's sister, her house. She went away for a couple months, and so we stayed there. We had to keep the pool running with the filter. We had to keep the air conditioner set at 70 degrees. The bills were extraordinarily high. We cut grass at the church on the weekends and cleaned and did the janitorial so we had enough money basically to buy groceries. Okay? There was a lot of I can't that we were thinking. We actually opened up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. God says, I can provide for the sparrows. I can provide for you, O you of little faith. And we're like, ugh. All right. Supply, God. You know what I learned that summer? My God supplies all your needs. We found another couple that worked at the church. He was the school administrator, and they were more needy than we were. He had 5 boys, and so we decided we wanted to help care for them. So we gave them, what was it, $200, $100? We didn't have very much. That was our extra. That was it. We gave it to them. You know what he did? We gave it to him anonymously. He turned around and invited us out for a steak dinner because God had blessed him with some extra money. And we're like, no, we wanted you to have that. And we tried to provide that care. We were content. When we got back to school, next semester, God paid for it according to his riches and glory, which is in Christ Jesus. He took care of it. And I look back on that, and there were some crazy things that God did that summer. And I learned that God is a great supplier. And I learned that I can do all things through Christ. And if you're here this morning and you've been thinking, I can't, okay, that is stinking thinking. That is not what God wants in you. You are his child. He has so much better. And through Christ, you can do all things. Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray for any here that have never trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They don't have any idea what it's like to have a faith that is real. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning, as they've heard about what Jesus can do and giving us the ability to do all things, to supply all of our needs, Lord, they're lacking in their life the essential ingredient. And I pray that this morning, Lord, that they would just trust you right now, right where they're sitting. They would just say, Lord God, please forgive me for my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Come into my life and save me. And Lord, if they'll look to you to save, you're a God who says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, I just pray for the Christian this morning. You want us to be I can people, content, those who give care to others, people that have cognition of the things that to know the things that we should know. God, I just pray for anybody here that's struggling in their life with those things. This morning, Lord, give them confidence. Bolster their faith. Help them to trust you. And then, Lord, as we close out this service, I just pray that our hearts would be made full. I thank you that you can give us clean hands, pure hearts, where we don't lift them up to anybody else. We lift them up to you, Jesus, because you alone are our help, and so you alone are worthy of all that we give of our lives. So bless this time of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, and as we sing, if God has spoken to your heart, I'd encourage you, step out for him. Act for God this morning. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll be standing at the front. I'd love to talk to you about trusting Christ. And you can know what it's like to have Christ in you, empowering you. Let's sing together.
Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Down our idols, so give us clean.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that this morning, every single one of us that have needs, that we can all be confident in who you are this morning. I thank you, Lord, that every single one of us here that sees others that have needs, that through the power of Christ, we can help to provide for those needs. I thank you, God, that you are the one who gives good gifts, because every good and perfect gift comes from you, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. So, God, as we go from here, I pray that the God of peace will supply all that we have need of. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Bless the food we're about to eat to our bodies. Bless the fellowship and friendships that you provide in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week serving him.